Hey listeners, today I'm chatting with Imtiaz Ahmad as part of our special Tech Toolbox 2019 series this week to celebrate our 2019 bundle, the Ultimate Tech Career Toolbox. You can learn more about this special bundle deal over at learntocodewith.me/toolbox2019. And remember, the sale ends tomorrow, May 4th, 2019 at midnight Eastern Time. This bundle of products won't be available ever again, so don't miss out on this huge discount. Now, today's guest, Imtiaz, is an award-winning Udemy instructor who is highly experienced in big data technologies and enterprise software architectures. He's completely self-taught, and now he's the founder of Job Ready Programmer, an online programming school that prepares students to become professional job-ready software developers. In this interview, we talk about why Java is such a great programming language to learn and the fastest way to become a software developer, even as a complete beginner. We also get a bit into data analysis. I hope you enjoy it. Hey, Imtiaz, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, Laurence, thank you. It's great to be here.
So I've seen a lot of your courses online over the years, and I'm really happy to be connecting and to have the listeners learn more about you, like the guy behind all these courses. So sure. To get started, I would love if you could tell us a bit about your background and how you got into tech.
Sure. So I have somewhat of an interesting background. I actually studied accounting in college. And about halfway through the senior year, when I was about to graduate with my accounting degree, I realized that it was not as appealing as I had thought. I was more of a creative person, and I was always dabbling with creative projects. And the more I got into the accounting major, I realized that, that wasn't for me. So I started dabbling a little bit with coding. And at that time, there weren't too many YouTube videos available. So I purchased this book. I forgot the exact title, but I think it was Learn Java in like 24 hours or something like that. And so I picked it up from the bookstore, started going through it, and it just sort of worked out naturally. It made sense, and it was fun. It definitely didn't take me 24 hours. It took me more like 24 or 30 days. But when I was done with the book, I thought, okay, you know what? This is actually pretty fun. It's creative. I can probably do this. And so I went ahead and started applying for jobs. And in the beginning, obviously, I didn't have much luck. I continued to improve my skills, and then I learned about databases. And then finally, I got an opportunity in a small company. It was a startup. And that's when I really put in a lot of the work. And I basically learned software development outside of college, right? I don't have a CS, a computer science degree or anything. But I invested the time, learned about data structures, algorithms on my own time, after work. And then I learned about web development and Java and different programming languages, Ruby, Python. And then I switched jobs a couple of times. I worked at S&P Capital IQ after that startup. That was a great, great company. And then I moved on to JP Morgan and a couple of other startups in between there. So I gained a lot of experience, and throughout this time, I've always wanted to give something back. I loved programming, so I figured, okay, I can maybe start creating courses, and that's really what got me into this process of creating courses and helping people out. I wanted to create something that I wish I had when I first graduated college.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. So when did you first start creating courses?
This was about 4.5 years ago. I first launched a object-oriented design course in Java. And that's when, it didn't get much traction back then, but, I continued to go on and create more content, and eventually it started to pick up and more students enrolled. And now I'm just grateful to have over about 120,000 students.
Yeah, wow, that's a quite a big number. So you teach a lot of different topics, but a lot of it seems to revolve around Java and data analysis skills and data skills. Is that what you primarily did in your career? Like, are those the languages and the frameworks and the technologies that you used?
I've used those certainly, but I also did Python, Ruby on Rails. I've worked with the Django framework and just a lot of Linux. So I've got a diverse background, but the kind of resource that I wanted to create for students is something that that they can just, you know, learn and then get employed. And Java is pretty much the number one language in the world, and it's been around for a while, believe it or not. But it's actually one of the most popular language according to TOB Index. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's a website that ranks languages, and it's been number one for a while now. And Python is another great language. So I focus on Java primarily. I do have another Python course coming out, but that's going to be later. And then data is, in my opinion, the most important thing in today's day and age. Like, data is huge, especially with what happened with Facebook, and, you know, just data ingestion and data processing and data science is really the future. And so I try to prepare my students to A, learn a programming language. It doesn't have to be Java. It could be anything, but Java is very popular. And then two, get really good at working with data. So that's my angle. That's where I try to help students learn. I think that's, in my opinion, the most important aspect of becoming a good developer, is know a programming language really well and then be able to work with data.
Gotcha. Circling back a bit, did you end up graduating college with an accounting degree then?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay. So I'm wondering, I only took one accounting class in college, but I felt like, you know, there's a lot with spreadsheets, obviously, and I'm sure like the more advanced accounting classes could even be, I don't know, other software tools perhaps that you're using and more advanced spreadsheet skills. Did that accounting degree help at all with learning programming languages or learning the different aspects that go into data management and data processing?
No, not really. I don't think so. I mean, it may have helped with my logic, you know, forming abilities, but it was really mostly just taking courses. You know, the accounting major involved learning about auditing, business combinations, taxation. There was financial accounting and cost accounting. So yeah, we were playing with a lot of numbers, but that's really not a prerequisite for anyone to get into software development. That's for sure.
Gotcha. Yeah, because a really common question people ask is, do I need to be good at math to do programming? And I feel like the math involved in programming, and I know it can depend on like what you're doing exactly, in something like accounting, I would imagine would be really different.
Yeah. I mean, overall accounting was just debits and credits as a whole, you know, positive and negative, you know, plus and minus. That's all the kind of math there was. And in software development, you don't need anything beyond algebra. You know, maybe algebra one or algebra two. So high school level math is definitely a must. You need to be able to deal with some basic math skills. But beyond that, everything is really learned on the job, and you know, and the logic is improved through coding. I would say if there's a skill that matches programming, it would actually be writing. If you enjoy writing stories and reading stories, that's really what we're doing as a software developer. We're creating things, and we're doing a lot of writing. That's what it is.
Interesting. I never heard anyone make that comparison before, but that makes a lot of sense. One thing that I found after interviewing a bunch of folks for the show is that it seems like a lot of people with musical backgrounds will later get into programming. Now, I guess that may be also because there's not a lot of job opportunity for them, like in the music industry, and they want higher earning potential and all that. I'm not musical myself, but just from the little bit that I know about reading and writing music, it always like made sense to me that it felt like those things could kind of be connected, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's the right hemisphere of your brain that's involved with music. I'm actually, believe it or not, I like to sing during my free time. So there's a little bit of musician in me, but I think people that you know, that have a music degree, they can think more creatively, and that can help in software development.
I'm sure a lot of folks listening are happy to hear that, like how creativity is a really strong factor in software development, because I think a lot of times we just think about it like, oh, it's really analytical, and it's not super creative, but it's, you know, nice to hear otherwise. So I wanted to talk a bit about your program and your courses, your company called Job Ready Programmer. I know you talked about this already, but would love if you could elaborate a bit on what the Job Ready means in that.
Sure. So I have actually created a YouTube video on this where I present to people about the two, in my opinion, the fastest way to become a software developer. And one of them is to go into the software development backend side of things, like learn a programming language. The other one is becoming a database developer. And these are the two paths. Now, there are other various paths in software development. It's a growing field. So you can get into, you know, data science, machine learning, and those are obviously more advanced concepts. But I would say that the reason why I have Job Ready Programming as my website is because that's exactly what I'm trying to help students do, is break into software development by learning the must-know skills. Some of the courses, for example, like the Java course, that's a primary course that's going to help someone learn programming. And then the other one is on the data side of things. I've got, you know, a database course. I've actually got multiple database courses, multiple Java courses. And then the third requirement is being able to pass an interview. And sometimes interviewers ask, well, not sometimes, but a lot of times, they're going to ask data structures and algorithms questions. And those, if you haven't gone to college for a computer science degree, you probably didn't get an opportunity to cover that. And so I include that in my curriculum because it could take time to learn data structures and algorithms. And that's something that is not, you know, it's not going to be your day-to-day training. If you're, for example, learning to develop a mobile app or a website or something like that, you kind of actually have to take away time from those creative endeavors and actually learn some hardcore computer science concepts. So I included that in the curriculum. So this curriculum overall is designed to sort of prepare someone to be job ready by the time they're done.
Yeah, and what I love about your website and where you display this information is you have like these two paths, data analyst and software development, mm-hmm. and then you highlight the courses and like what you get with each and like the value that they have for each path. So when people are going through your program, do most people just pick one of these paths, like just data analyst, and then go through the programs that correlate with that? Or are there people who like mix and match or just go through them all?
I've seen both cases. You know, someone that's, for example, wanting to become a database developer, they would take my database courses. Someone that wants to become a reports developer, I've got a course on Tableau, which is a very popular tool. So, you know, a combination of databases, you know, SQL language, and Tableau is a perfect combination to land a job in database reporting and, or even data science. But then there's those students that, you know, go and mix and match and, you know, they'll take a programming course first, the Java course, and then they'll go ahead and take a SQL course and they'll come back and do data structures and sort of take both of these paths in parallel. That could take a little longer, but either case, I mean, a database developer doesn't necessarily have to know computer programming very well. It's mostly just dealing with working with data. A software developer needs to know programming languages well enough, as well as some auxiliary tools and databases. So chances are, if you're shooting for becoming a software developer, you're also going to have to complete the data path.
Gotcha. And most of the folks that are taking these courses, are they total beginners or do they have some experience already, like learning the basics, maybe like the command line and Git and all that? Like what kind of level are people coming in with?
A variety of levels. I've gotten emails from students that were midway in their career and wanted to transition. Like, for example, I've got two technologies on the site, that is Elasticsearch and Spark, that are very popular nowadays. And so if someone that, you know, wants to get into, you know, a Spark developer position or a, you know, an Elasticsearch developer position, they would take those courses separately. And then I've got, you know, people that are just starting out that know absolutely nothing about programming, and they would take the earlier courses, you know, towards the beginning of the path and get a good idea of what programming is about, and then move on to advanced courses. So it's really a variety of students. Some of them are going through a college curriculum. They need help learning object orientation, you know, or some of them that are, you know, taking a data structures and algorithms course in college that need supplemental material. So it's really a variety of students. And I try to cater to as many as I can, but the eventual goal is to help each of them break into software development, one way or another.
Got it. And you mentioned a few technologies that I think some of the listeners won't be familiar with, or honestly, maybe never even heard of, because we do have a lot of folks listening who are really new to the world of tech. Could you talk just quickly about what Elasticsearch is? I think you also mentioned Spark and Tableau. I feel like those are the ones that are maybe a bit more unknown to some people.
Sure. So Tableau is the number one tool in reporting and data analytics now. It's very popular. There's a lot of companies that are hiring for Tableau developer positions. But a prerequisite to that is working with data. So SQL and Tableau go well, very well together. Now, the other two, which is Elasticsearch and Spark, these fall in the realm of big data. And so if you want to sort of get your resume, you know, to sparkle, really, in front of hiring managers, these two technologies, if you mention them on the resume, you will stand out compared to other people that might be applying for a given position.
Got it. And both of those things, Spark and Elasticsearch, are those relatively newer technologies that came out, you know, maybe haven't been around as long as Java and some of the other things?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Java came out, I think it was 94 or something like that, really early in 1990s. And so did databases. SQL actually has been around since the 1970s. So these are very old, you know, technologies or programming languages that have obviously improved over time. And, you know, you can do a lot more with them now that you can do than you could have done back then. But these new frameworks like Elasticsearch, this is actually a search engine that is super fast. It's just distributed. I know some of the listeners might not know some of those terms, but basically, you know, this all falls in the, you know, the Elasticsearch and Spark fall in the big data space. And these are really new technologies compared to the, you know, databases or Java.
Got it. Well, thank you for elaborating on that. Another thing about your program is that you have this component, I believe, where you help people get jobs, or maybe you match them up with recruiters or something. Could you talk a little bit about that?
So basically, I have a lot of recruiters in my network on LinkedIn. So and these are, you know, I've over the years established relationships with them and helped some candidates get placed in some of these positions. And these recruiters are constantly opening positions up. And so the students that excel in my curriculum, those are the ones that I promote in my recruiting network. And the prerequisite for that kind of promotion is a completion of the entire curriculum so that I know that they know all this stuff, as well as passing an exam you know, they have. It's my exam, actually. So I can't just send any old student to a recruiter and say, hey, could you mark it? The student needs to be qualified. And that's actually the best for both the recruiter as well as the student and the hiring manager.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. I didn't realize it was as elaborate as that. I'm just like super curious because I don't think I've ever spoke to anyone or know of anyone who does something quite like this. This exam that you created, how long does it take people to go through it?
It's actually a bunch of coding problems and a project. So the problems can be done within a couple of hours, you know, but the project could take, you know, a week or maybe even 2 weeks. I leave that sort of open. But you know, typically if I hand out the exam, I expect the student to give it back to me after about 2 weeks. And so if everything looks good, that's when I would go ahead and promote their LinkedIn profile.
Nice. Yeah, that's really cool that that you do that. So obviously, like, you have tons of experience and you've worked with a lot of students. I believe you said like 120,000 total since you started creating courses, which is really impressive. And you're self-taught, right? Like, you have an accounting degree, you learned all of your tech skills on your own.
Yes.
I would love to know what advice you can share with someone who's listening right now and they want to get serious about getting a job in tech, perhaps as a data analyst or a software developer.
Yeah, so I think the number one advice I could give anyone is to, first of all, be patient. This does require some patience and a lot of discipline. Like, you need to put in a consistent amount of time every day. You can't just, you know, spend 12 hours or 15 hours in one weekend and then another, you know, 15 hours the next weekend. It's much better if you were to study 2 hours a day, every single day for an entire year or 6 months or whatever you're trying to achieve. That's a much better approach. And it requires time. It takes time. You got to struggle. You're going to run into issues as you learn. But you just sort of have to keep pressing on. And eventually you'll get really, really good at something if you just focus on it and consistently keep working on it. Some of the best software developers that I know, they do not have computer science degrees. They just have a lot of experience under their belt and they've been working on something, improving themselves for a long, long time. And that's what really makes, in my opinion, a good software developer, someone that's consistently improving, learning new things, and is willing to just be disciplined and practice every single day.
Yeah, I love that advice. So what's an example of improving and learning every day aside from someone taking online courses?
Yeah, so I would say that, you know, there's various courses that you can take online, such as, you know, my website, and I'm sure there's many others. But those courses, you can complete them. But in addition to that, you should also be curious and learn from YouTube, go through books. You don't want to just go through a course and not do anything with that. And just, you know, let's say you take a course, it takes you, you know, a month to go through it, and then you don't do anything for another 3 months. That's no good. You'll just forget what you've learned, and then, you know, it's not consistent. But if you consistently try to keep advancing, and that's how I've sort of designed my curriculum, is that you won't run out of things to do. You'll consistently be challenged with more and more challenging things, and you'll improve. And I actually keep adding new content and new courses to this curriculum.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all that. And thank you again for coming on the show. Obviously, listeners can catch your product in the 2019 Ultimate Tech Career Toolbox, but I would love if you could also share some of your other resources or maybe where people can find you online, especially for those who just want to learn more about you and the people that are listening in the future, because there are a lot of folks that will discover the podcast later, and they may not be hearing this, you know, a year since we actually recorded this interview.
So I'm constantly adding videos on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel by my name, you know, Imtiaz Ahmad. If you just Google my name, you'll see that, you know, that's one of the top channels. You could just navigate over to there. And I'm, you know, adding tech tutorials on that channel, as well as just general career advice. Navigating your career, dealing with workplace politics, improving your LinkedIn profile, and just some of these soft skills that are also needed to become a professional. So I think that's a good place to find more information about me. I'm really upfront and honest and share as much information as I can on the YouTube channel.
Awesome. Thank you again for coming on.
No, thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Imtiaz. Again, you can check out his product, Job Ready Programmer, inside our 2019 version of the Ultimate Tech Career Toolbox. When you get this bundle, you'll save over $4,000 and get access to 33 different top-notch tech and coding courses. Again, tomorrow, Saturday, May 4th at midnight Eastern Time is the final day you can get this Ultimate Tech Career Toolbox. And this collection of courses will never be available again for sale, so don't miss out. Everything you need to know about this bundle of products can be found at learntocodewith.me/toolbox2019. And if you're tuning into this episode in the future, make sure to get on our email list so you don't miss out on special deals like this again. This is the final episode in our special podcast series. We'll be back next week with regular programming. Thanks so much for listening.